May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." 2019 is the 80th anniversary of the release of The Wizard of Oz. Can you believe an 80-year-old movie is still shown on network television every year? Near the end of last month, I listened to a fascinating interview on NPR with Professor John Fricke, who is the preeminent scholar on all things Oz. I hope some of you heard it. The Wizard of Oz has been described as one of the most influential movies ever made. I see it as a perfectly charming children's fantasy. But I learned that the public library in Detroit once banned the book that it was based upon the grounds that it would frighten children who did not need to be reading about witches and wizards. When Jesus tells Peter that henceforth he will be a fisher of men, it reminds me of Dorothy. She is told by Glinda, the good witch of the north, to follow the yellow brick road to the Emerald City. Along the way, Dorothy invites the Scarecrow, who wants a brain, the Tin Woodman, who desires a heart, and the Cowardly Lion, who needs courage, to be her traveling companions. Those for Dorothy are the fish that she catches on her journey. And there are scarecrows and tin woodmen and cowardly lions on the yellow brick roads that all of us walk along as we journey through our lives. You know you have come across them. And that really is the point of what Rosie read as our second lesson today. Yes, it describes Peter's call to be a disciple, his call to be a fisher of men. But it is intended to put all of us on notice that Peter's call is our call too. We are to be fishers of men. On the internet, I found a 17th century Italian engraving with the title Peter's Bark. A bark is a boat and is one of the earliest Christian symbols, along with the fish and the dove and the anchor. You will find boats scratched on the walls of the catacombs. Particularly, the bark is a symbol of the church. The engraving of Peter's bark that I found is clearly Catholic in its origin, but the thought behind it is something that all of us can embrace. It is of a ship with two sails. On one is written, "Et tu, Petros, and you, Peter." The boat is packed with people, and Peter, depicted as a mitred pope, is standing on the prow, holding up his crozier. The sea is rough and full of people clamoring to escape the waves to the safety of the ship. And all those aboard are reaching down into the sea to help them clamber aboard. Peter's boat is the church as it should be, a safe place in the storm of life where everyone who is already aboard is fishing in the waves for those who have not yet found safety. I can't emphasize for you enough how much I love this gospel passage. Rosie knows. I changed it. We originally were going to read from Corinthians, but I changed it to the gospel for the day. This passage is St. Luke's at his very best. Every detail of the story lends support to the central message of Peter's call to be a fisher of men, which is also our call. First off, I love the idea of Jesus, desperate for a little space to speak to the crowd, simply commandeering Peter's boat. Jesus doesn't make a subtle inquiry and a polite request if he can borrow the boat. He simply sees that two boats are empty and he just gets into one of them. I love that because on his way to asking us to fish on his behalf, God most often does not ask our permission to put people in our path. He just barges ahead and does it. Certainly, we can refuse the fish that God sends to swim in the water around us. But he puts the onus on us to say no. And in your heart, you always know when you are saying no to God. On the other hand, I also love that when Jesus does get around to asking Peter to do something, to put out a little way from the shore, Peter just does it. I mean, Peter could have quite reasonably made up bunches of excuses. I've been up all night working hard. I have to clean my nets or they will rot. I need some sleep because I'm going to have to do this over again tonight, seeing that I caught nothing last night. Perhaps Peter feels obligated to do something for Jesus, seeing that Jesus has just healed his mother-in-law. But I prefer to think that Peter was just that kind of guy. The kind of guy who saw someone needing something from him and was willing to do it even though he was dead tired, simply because he had been asked. If we are to become fishers of men, we too are going to have to be prepared to be that kind of guy or girl. One who is always willing and ready. Remember what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. If someone should ask you to go with him 1 mile, go with him 2. And if someone sues you for your cloak, give him your tunic too. The next thing I love about the story is that when Jesus tells him to, Peter does something that on the face of it makes no sense. Letting down his nets. Keep in mind that these are the nets he has just finished cleaning. Peter has been letting down his nets all night long and has caught nothing. He could have tried the "I've tried that already" excuse. It's a reminder that as we fish for men, we should never be discouraged. We must press on, even when it seems to make no sense. There are many fish that will elude us. In fact, probably most fish will elude us. But we must not give up. Perhaps what I love more than anything else in this story is imagining the look on Peter's face and on the faces of those who were called to help as they struggle to haul in this unexpected catch and barely get their nets to shore. Faces of the fishermen surely showed surprise, wonder, delight at all the money they'd make, and just a touch of awe. Peter's face and the faces of James and John showed something quite different, I know. When Jesus asked Peter to put out from shore, Peter thought he knew Jesus. The miraculous catch made Peter realize that he didn't really know him at all. It gave Peter his first inkling of the divinity of Jesus. And that scared him. What showed on Peter's face was fear. He fell down. He threw his arms around Jesus' knees. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There are echoes in that of the other reading that we heard today from Isaiah. When Isaiah was called to be a prophet and had his vision of God, his response was, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." Both Peter and Isaiah are awed to be in the presence of God when they receive their call, and they are completely humbled by their knowledge of their own inadequacy. It is a reminder that not one of us is worthy to be a fisher of men. Certainly Peter would prove that he was not worthy. I am called to be a fisher of men, and you too are called to be fishers of men. But none of us have the qualifications to be fishers of men. Thank God he does a lousy job of reading resumes. From now on, Jesus said to Peter, catch people. Catch scarecrows in need of brains. Catch tin woodmen in need of hearts. Catch cowardly lions in need of courage. Catch those who have lost hope. Catch those who are filled with fears. Catch those who are poor. Catch those who are sick. Catch those who suffer injustice. Catch those who are desperately sad. It is what we in Peter's bark are called to do. And when we have caught them, we are to help them catch the goodness and the richness of God in Christ. Amen.